establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245. Restore Health and Counseling salutes the men and women in uniform who've answered the call for our freedoms. Let's give them the hero's welcome they deserve as they have fought hard to restore peace. America's troops are our angels of protection, so stand up and salute them proudly. That's from Restore Health and Counseling at 4705 Paris Street, serving Northeast Denver with complete substance abuse counseling for adolescents to adult and for private as well as professional drug, alcohol screening and treatment and rehabilitation. Visit us at www.rhctherapy.com or call 303-373-1188.
This morning we're going to be talking about our legal system. And there's an old story about how a group of scientists decided to use lawyers for experiments in their laboratory rather than rats. Because, of course, there are really so many lawyers out there. They're far easier to get than rats. And the other thing is there's certain things even a rat won't do. Well, of course, it's a joke, supposedly poking fun at lawyers, and yet lawyers run our legal system. And without a sound legal system based upon justice, why no society can survive? And certainly, whether it be the federal or the state or the local level, we have certainly an executive, a legislative, and a judicial system. And the key, of course, to a sound judicial system is certainly laws that certainly don't discriminate against individuals but try to find truth and certainly disseminate justice to people. Well, do we have a system, a court system, that is really just today? And unfortunately, in many instances, we don't. We have judges who are bribed, but why should we be surprised if there's no right, there's no wrong? We've taken the God out of our schools, out of our teaching. We've taken any sense of justice out of our court system. Because once you remove God, what is the basis of justice other than the laws made by lawyers who certainly can be bribed? After all, there's certain things even a rat won't do that a lawyer will, and that is certainly turn his back. And within every community, there's a legal system, and if you're a lawyer, you better go along with it, because if you don't, they'll go after you, go after your license. And well, we have real problems in America. And here with us this morning to discuss some of the problems inherent in our legal system is our good friend William Grigg, former senior editor of the New American Magazine, and now certainly writes blogs. We have him on regularly on Radio Liberty every Friday evening for our last program at 9 o'clock Pacific time. And William actually writes our monthly newsletter. So without further ado, William, why don't you pick up the story of our judicial system and what we can do to try to remedy the problems, the very real problems we face today.
Well, Dr. Stan, it's a pleasure to be with you, and I do appreciate this opportunity. When you're talking about our judicial system, the phrase that springs to my mind irresistibly is from Shakespeare's play Measure for Measure, which is about judicial corruption, as a number of his dramas are. And that phrase is, thieves for their robbery have authority when judges steal themselves. We talk about routine malfeasance on the bench in the form of judges who are either bribed or otherwise induced to pervert judgment to the benefit of one side or the other. There are also judges who are involved in all kinds of personal corruption and misconduct, but there's a systemic problem that you touched upon in the introduction that is perhaps fatal to what remains of our system of liberty protected by law. There is a residual element of that in our system, but right now, the judicial branch of the government, whether you're talking about the federal or the local or the state level, is engineered in such a way that it is no longer involved in the enterprise of determining the truth of a charge against a defendant, but rather validating the interests of the state in all circumstances. You mentioned the role played by lawyers in our system. They're, of course, ubiquitous, and they have been for quite a while. The thing about our Constitution is that many of the people involved in drafting the Constitution of the United States and of the several states that were constituents and the creators of the federal government were people who had read for the law, who were practicing attorneys. You have noble people like Patrick Henry, who are certainly a far better and more exemplary specimens individually of this practice of law than many of the people who are stereotypical lawyers today. The biggest difference is that in the 18th century, when America was in sort of its embryonic stage of becoming a constitutional republic, there was a far greater emphasis on the fact that the law was supposed to protect the freedom of the individual and protect the property rights, specifically the individual. The law was not an instrument, or not to be an instrument of government power so much as it was supposed to limit the role of government. Government had this very small and often peripheral role in society, and it was limited strictly to the protection of property rights. And one of the reasons why we had a revolt against Great Britain, why the American colonies decided to secede from the British Empire, was because of the perception, of course it was an entirely accurate one, that the law had become perverted, that it was becoming an instrument of oppression, and that people's rights as Englishmen, as protected by the common law tradition of the Anglo-Saxon culture, were being trampled and being ignored, and that the court system specifically had turned into this engine of dispossession. One of the reasons why in the Declaration of Independence there are references to the abuses being inflicted on the colonists by the British judiciary. And so at the time, in the last, 150 or so years before American independence, there was this movement in England, and of course it had spread across the Atlantic to the American colonies, to encourage citizens to take a more active role through the grand jury process in reining in what the courts could do. It was understood that the law was not the possession of the judges and certainly not the possession of the prosecutors, but it had always been intended to be the common possession of the people. And so you had these grand juries, which in their primordial sense, as a constitutional scholar Roger Rootes points out, the grand jury was a group of men who stood as a check on the government, often in direct opposition to the desires of those who were in power. And in the late 17th, early 18th centuries, there were many notable instances where grand juries defied the supposedly authoritative instructions of prosecutors and judges in order to exonerate people who were what we would now call a political defendants in political show trials, the most impressive or perhaps the most notable one. A notable instance of this sort was the 1734 trials of John Peter Zenger in New York for seditious libel. What Mr. Zenger was doing is the publisher of what we now call a newspaper or periodical was exposing the official corruption under the administration of Royal Governor William Cosby. Cosby had actually perverted the system by ignoring the requirement that an actual indictment be handed down by a grand jury. He simply filed a document called a criminal information. You hear that expression now.
Hold that thought, William. We'll be right back.
Freedom goes away.
Hi, I'm Bruce Baker.
I write songs that give people with conservative values a laugh, or maybe bring a tear to their eye. Hopefully, the songs will help people with liberal values to see the light of liberty. Please visit my website at www.myspace.com/Bruce-Baker. You can hear full versions of several songs and see my video. There are links to download either iTunes or MP3 versions of the tunes on my new album, Mark's Larks. That's www.myspace.com/Bruce-Baker.
At RAM, we don't think it's the calendar's job to say when the work is done. We think it's up to the truck. So while the other guys are shutting down for the holidays, Ram trucks are firing up their available 390 horsepower Hemi V8 and Cummins turbo diesel engines and working overtime. This is a great time to get a great deal on a great truck right now at the Ram Big Finish event.
Now get 0% financing for 60 months or $7,200 in total values on the 2012 Ram 1500 Bighorn Crew Cab 4x4. Values include $3,200 Bighorn package discount and $4,000 cash allowance. Package values based on combined value of individual package items. 0% APR financing for 60 months equals $1,667 per month for $1,000. Finance for well-qualified buyers through Ally regardless of down payment. Residency restrictions apply. Offers end 12-3.
Hello, doctors. Back here at the American Freedom Network, and we're talking about the problem of the current in our judicial system today, as we've taken God and right and wrong out of our system, and it simply becomes a power structure to benefit those who are able to bribe the judges the best. And we have judges that are bribed in America. Recently, of course, we had a Supreme Court decision decided by one justice, the head of the Supreme Court, the senior justice there, Justice Roberts, had to do with the Obamacare. Now, when Obama put forward his whole system of medical care, one thing he stressed was that the charges that were going to be placed on people were not a tax. They were not a tax. They were simply fees so that everybody in America would have health insurance. But of course, the case was appealed to the Supreme Court, and it was divided 4-4. The Supreme Court justice was going to have to decide, Justice Roberts. So what did Justice Roberts say? Well, he said that, it was illegal for the government to impose fees, but this was a tax that was being put on. This was been denied by the Obama administration. But Justice Roberts said it was a tax, and the federal government had the right to tax. And therefore, the Obamacare was legal. Why did he do that? Well, somebody had gotten to him. There are a lot of questions about his sexuality. They obviously had something on Justice Roberts, and he made a decision when opposed in opposition to the vast majority of the American people, and obviously in opposition to certainly what was legal and right and just. He came up with a decision totally contrary to what the Obama administration had said. But he wanted to justify Obamacare because that's what the Obama administration wants. So he found a legal loophole. And when you have Supreme Court justices, especially a chief Supreme Court justice, who will do that sort of thing, turning his back on what's right and wrong and what's legal, come up with a conclusion that somebody had told him to come up with, why we lay ourselves open to the total loss of the concept of justice all across the United States. And without justice, then the very foundation of our society has been destroyed. William, you go ahead and pick up the story of the judicial system and how this city was under attack even before America was established as an independent and sovereign nation.
That's exactly right. What you're describing in the case of John Roberts and the decision in Obamacare could be referred to as an example of judicial nullification of legislation because he materially rewrote the logic of Obamacare, which had been denied by the Obama administration for political purposes. They had denied that you're dealing with a tax, and John Roberts simply sua sponte, of his own volition and supposed authority, rewrote this and rewrote some elements of the Constitution in order to accommodate the idea that the federal government can impose this tax and compel people to buy health care approved by the government. In other words, they can find themselves in a position where the government dictates that they as consumers buy something, which is, of course, not an enumerated power in the Constitution. Of course, that wasn't the claim being made by the Obama administration during oral arguments as well. This is something that Mr. Roberts did of his own volition once again, and this is, I think, exactly the opposite of how the judicial system is supposed to work, because there is a role for the process of nullification in the judicial system. There always has been, and it is jury nullification, not judicial nullification. Judges here take upon themselves the supposed authority not merely to rule regarding the facts of a case or regarding the application of the law, but to create law according to their own whims, or to take existing law and rewrite it in order to be compatible with somebody's desired outcome, as John Roberts did. In the Anglo-Saxon system of justice, it was understood that the jury has the plenary, that is to say, unlimited and unqualified authority to decide whether a law is just, that ultimately justice is the possession of the people, and the people have the defining role in deciding whether a law is suitable, not merely whether the facts of the case would make it appropriate to convict a defendant, but rather whether the law which is being applied is consonant with justice. And I had referred to the 1734 trials, there were at least two of them that I can recall, of John Peter Zinger, who was a muckraking journalist who'd gotten under the skin of William Cosby, who was the royal governor for New York, by publishing exposés of official corruption. Governor Cosby desired to put Mr. Zinger in prison as a political dissident, and so he ignored the law, which required an indictment by a grand jury for a charge of seditious libel. And he filed what's called a criminal information. That's an expression you hear quite a bit now, rather than affidavit or an indictment. Prosecutor will announce that they filed a criminal information against a given suspect in a case. This didn't comply with the law at the time. The law required that he receive an indictment or a presentment from a grand jury. And so on two occasions, he put Mr. Zinger on trial for seditious libel, and the jury admitted that under the strict text of the seditious libel law, that what Mr. Zinger had published could qualify as a crime, because he was undermining the people's faith in the local government and the royal governor of New York. But they set this aside, saying that the law itself was unjust, that it was an unacceptable abridgment of the right to free speech, and so they twice acquitted Mr. Zinger. And that, of course, is one of the most noted and notable examples of jury nullification, which is the sovereign right of every citizen who takes part in a jury, whether a grand or petty jury. Somebody who is called as a juror has plenary authority to decide not only the facts of the case, but whether the law as applied is just. So ultimately, justice is the possession of the people rather than of this professional class that we call prosecutors and judges. And the really important thing to understand about what's going on with the grand jury system, this is a real problem that over the last several decades has derogated dramatically from the administration of justice in this country, is that starting in the 1930s and the 1940s, there was this federally appointed panel that reviewed the administration of justice in this country and the administration of the laws, and submitted on behalf of the American Bar Association, model reform statute that has more or less reconstituted the entire grand jury system in such a way that grand juries in almost every jurisdiction of this country now are creatures of the prosecutor rather than independent bodies that are supposed to be a check on the administration of justice by the government, and also an investigating body to inquire after what the government is doing. The grand jury system was intended, and actually it wasn't a system to begin with, it was just a body of citizens who organized themselves according to the forms of common law to investigate criminal misconduct, whether you're talking about public misconduct or private misconduct. There's a terrific piece from the Fordham Law Review written by Dr. Kevin K. Washburn that traces the history of the grand jury and the way that the grand jury has been more or less taken hostage by the prosecutors. There's a reform advisory committee mentioned in this article headed by a man named Lester B. Orfield. And his concern, when he crafted what is called Rule 6 of Federal Rules of Criminal Procedure, his concern was that the grand juries might eventually assert their independence from this system of judges and prosecutors in such a way that you'd have a so-called runaway grand jury that could act on their own knowledge or observation without being under the supervision of the United States attorney in federal courts. And, of course, if you take a look at the way that grand juries are operated now in federal trials, they're rubber stamps. Their votes are as predictable as the votes in the Chinese Communist Politburo. They will almost always, within a statistically insignificant margin, they will almost always ratify the desires of the prosecutor and hand down any indictment that they're requested to hand down. And that's something that is lamented in this Fordham Law Review article by Dr. Washburn. He points out that today the grand jury is the total captive of the prosecutor, who, if he is candid, will concede that he can indict anybody at any time for almost anything before any grand jury. And that observation actually comes from a 1973 Law Review article written by a former federal district judge by the name of William J. Campbell. The grand jury was not supposed to be the captive of the prosecutor. And if you take a look at the way that it operated in the John Peters Enger case way back in 1734, that's a very stark contrast with what we have right now. And that's one of the major institutional checks on what prosecutors and judges can do is the grand jury system. And unfortunately, both at the federal level and at the local level, grand juries now are just another appendage of this instrument here in which the court system has been turned entirely into an engine of ratifying the government's actions rather than seeking after justice and trying to establish the truth. And what we have to do, one of the major things that we have to do if we're interested in reforming how the system works, is to rehabilitate the role of the grand jury system. And that means that you're going to have to encourage people, not only in terms of trial courts, but also in terms of grand juries, to learn and understand and to carry out the role of conscientious juror. There are a number of wonderful organizations. The Fully Informed Jury Association, FIJA, is doing a lot of work on this front, where they're working to educate the public about the plenary authority of juries as finders of both fact and also as judges of the legitimacy of the law in a criminal case. There are a number of FIJA activists who have been prosecuted and harassed by members of the professional judiciary, if you will. They've been arrested by police and put on trial for bogus charges of jury tampering simply for handing out information in front of courtrooms on public property, advising potential jurors that if they're called into the service of the jury system, that they can rule regarding the legitimacy of the law as well as the facts of the case. But the same thing is true with respect, of course, to grand juries. Grand juries are arguably more important because they have an investigatory function that goes beyond their role as triers of fact in a criminal proceeding. They can actually convene, a grand jury can convene itself and investigate institutional corruption. That used to be one of the major things the grand juries would do at the turn of the century in a couple of cities such as Minneapolis and Chicago. You had grand juries that actually conducted far-reaching investigations that rooted out embedded corruption in law enforcement and judicial bodies and in political machines. Chicago, of course, is rife with political machines, and it's too bad you don't have grand juries working day and night 24/7 to try to scour that particular municipal structure clean of its wholesale corruption. But one of the main things we need to do if we're interested in bringing about genuine reform in the administration of justice is to rehabilitate not merely the role of trial juries, but also the role of grand juries as investigative bodies. And that's one of the recommendations, actually, that you can find being discussed at a very informative website called judicialreformnow.com. That's judicialreformnow.com. That's a website that's expandable. It's just a brand new and embryonic website, if you will, that's devoted to an examination of the role in the role being played by corrupt judiciaries in the process of destroying what remains of our system of liberty protected by law. And there are a number of focus areas that are going to be discussed at this website dealing with specific aspects of this problem and specific remedies that we could pursue in terms of trying to bring judges once again under the authority of the law and reining in the abuses of prosecutors and validating and re-enthroning, if you will, the sovereign people as that element of society that is in charge of defining justice. Now, granted, Dr. Stan, you talk consistently and properly about the fact that the public itself has become corrupted because we have fallen far short of the standard individual integrity that's required to be a free society, that we ignore eternal truths and that we tend to be, as a public, materialistic and not particularly faithful to the principles of liberty that we've inherited from the founding generation and from the biblical tradition of morality. That's all true. But what people have to understand is that this same syndrome is more acute among those who exercise.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with William Griggs.
Try Property Management in Greeley urges listeners, make this the year you get involved in the community. Whether it's food for a family in crisis, checking in on a senior, care packages for military members, or giving the gift of life by giving blood, you can make a difference and directly affect someone's life. We can't save the whole world, but every little bit helps. This message has been from Try Property Management in Greeley, where Neil and staff are on the air saying happy holiday season to all. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9.
If the IRS has turned your life upside down, Ameristar Tax Centers has a free, no-obligation consultation just for you. With proven experience, our former IRS agents are licensed to contact the IRS immediately for you, stop the collection activity, and get you instant help to relieve you from this burden. We guarantee not to charge you a penny unless we can help. So call for free information now.
800-519-6297. 800-519-6297. 800-519-6297.
The name is Patriot Trading Group, and the website is allamericangold.com. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President of the Patriot Trading Group, and we handle American gold for the American people because that's who we are and that's who we care about. So if you want your portfolio to help you get the job done, or if you want your IRA to be safe from Wall Street and the paper markets and your kids' future to be protected, then call us, the Patriot Trading Group, at 800-951-0592. You'll be glad you did.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath. Cintas, the uniform people in Greeley, ask everyone to get involved in our community this holiday season. Whether it's food for a family in crisis, a toy for a needy child, care packages for military members, or giving the gift of life by giving blood, you can make a difference and directly affect someone's life. Be part of something great. This message from Cintas, the uniform people in Greeley, named one of the most admired outsourcing companies in America. Call 970-352-2233, 970-352-2233.
Thank you.
Well, Dr. Stan, I guess this morning is Greg and William. You go right ahead.
I had been talking about the role, the vitally important role that's played by the grand jury as it was originally constituted in providing a check on institutional corruption in government. And, of course, as you constantly remind us, Dr. Stan, we live in a fallen world, and the frailty of humanity is a universal constant. And one of the reasons why we're in the predicament we're in right now is because the people, ourselves, we have become corrupted. But the corruption we're talking about is endemic to the human condition, and people who have power, whether elected or appointed power in a political government, enjoy no happy immunity to the shortcomings that characterize the rest of us. Indeed, when those shortcomings are wedded to power, particularly unaccountable power, and there are few people who approach the level of unaccountability more nearly than judges do, when those failings are coupled with largely unaccountable power, they tend to create a lot more damage, and they tend to corrupt the rest of us. There's this really sinister synergism between corrupt people in positions of public trust and the public at large. That's one of the reasons why I began this discussion by quoting that wonderful line, that very instructive line from Shakespeare's Measure for Measure, "Thieves for their robbery have authority when judges steal themselves." You have judges who are supposed to administer the law and prosecutors who are supposed to find the truth, who set aside the law in the service of power and who inflict misery on people, not in the name of justice, but in the name of validating their own power, then that sends a very potent moral signal to the rest of society. And the assumption in our republic, I don't know whether it's an entirely valid one, but it's the assumption upon which our republic was built, was that ultimately the people ourselves, we the people ourselves, would be in charge of extracting the venom of institutional corruption from the government that's supposed to be our servant. That means that you have to diffuse power, you have to relieve corrupt people of the power that they have been lent in order to do things that are supposed to be to the benefit of the public at large. And almost everything that we discuss in terms of really evil public policy that results in impositions on the property rights of people and the denial of personal freedom to the innocent, you're talking about the abuses of prosecutors, you're talking about the large and growing problem of abuses by police officers, all of this ultimately has something to do with the role of the judiciary, because judges, and for that matter prosecutors, who are, of course, agents of the bar, they're officers of the bar, they can, if they are conscientious, do things that would protect the public against the abuses committed by rogue executive branch offices or rogue law enforcement officers or departments. But they don't, because they tend to work in collusion against the interests of the public. We wouldn't have the world's largest prison population in both absolute terms and per capita terms if it weren't for the fact that there is a great deal of opportunistic corruption in the bench, where the incentives have been created to put people in prison for things that are not offenses against persons or property. I mean, this has something to do with the phenomenon that has been described by former attorney, constitutional commentator Harvey Silverglade as the criminalization of everyday life. He wrote a terrific book called Three Felonies a Day, and by terrific, I mean, to use that word in its original sense, it's terrifying. It is terrific in the sense that it inflicts terror on the reader to know that every citizen of this country, from the time he gets up in the morning until the time that his head hits the pillow after a well-spent day, during that period of time, we're going to commit on average three acts that the federal government could criminalize as felonies if you were under the constant scrutiny of a suitably ambitious federal prosecutor. That's one of the reasons why we have this huge criminal system, this huge, very profitable for some criminal system, and this metastasizing prison system that is in some places, including the community where I reside, Treasure Valley, which encompasses a part of Idaho and Oregon, it's the largest employer. The state prison in Ontario, Oregon, is the largest employer in the valley and the most steady employment to be found. Every time I go to visit a local convenience store or go to a local restaurant, I run into at least a couple of people who are employed by that prison, and I know more than a few people who, having no other job prospects, are talking about seeking employment as prison guards or as administrators or some level functionaries at that prison. That's true of so many communities right now because, quite frankly, incarceration is a booming business. It's not because you've seen this dramatic increase in the amount of genuinely criminal behavior on the part of the public. It's a testament to the fact that the government that rules us and the judiciary that's supposed to administer justice is increasingly inventive in finding ways to turn people into prisoners. So what we have to do is we have to reform the judiciary as a compelling imperative in trying to beat back the cancerous growth of this government and, once again, this huge and spreading evil of institutional corruption. And I made reference to this website. And as I said before, this is a website that's going to expand. It's going to have a lot of very useful information, not merely updates to infuriate people, but also model letters that people can use and suggestions as to what kind of routes that people should take in terms of activism to make productive use of that outrage. It's called judicialreformnow.com. And there are 9 subject areas that are discussed here that I think provide a really good schematic for activism focused on the judiciary. The first is to reinstitute jury nullification. Jury nullification, once again, and I'll explain this briefly, is the practice of the full authority of jurors as both triers of fact and as judges of the law. It is the jury, not the judge, that defines the law. There are some jurisdictions, including, regrettably, Idaho, where I'm a resident, where the local judicial guild, if you will, the local lawyers' cartel, has created policies that are considered to be enforceable. They're completely bogus from a constitutional perspective. In legal terms, they're utterly spurious. But these policies require judges, require jurors to sign a document attesting that they will be bound by the judge's instructions as to what the law is. This is an unenforceable document. This is not a legitimate contract. This is not a legitimate judicial procedure because you cannot require a juror to waive, to repudiate his authority as a juror and still have a jury. That's essentially what the state of Idaho does by requiring potential jurors to sign under penalty of perjury a document claiming that they will forswear themselves when it comes to being triers of the law as well as triers of fact. But jury nullification is not only a primordial right in Anglo-Saxon law, it is innately American. Happily, the state of New Hampshire just a few months ago enacted a state law, which recognizes and protects the right of jury nullification. HB 146, it was signed into law by New Hampshire Governor John Lynch last June, and the relevant section of the law reads, "In all criminal proceedings, the court shall permit the defense to inform the jury of its right to judge the facts and the application of the law in relation to the facts in controversy." What that means, of course, is that the defense, in every criminal case in New Hampshire now, can instruct the jury, remind the jury, really, inform them, for many of the people who would be jurors, this would be the first time they would have been exposed to this fact, that they have the right not only to determine the facts of the case, whether the defendant did what he's being accused of doing, but whether the law is just
now. And hold that thought, William. We'll be back in just a moment here at The American.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Are you prepared for the coming chaos? Whether you are planning a strategic retreat or you have one in progress, Square Root Construction would be pleased to offer our assistance. With nearly 30 years of construction experience, Square Root Construction can help with design, engineering, and permitting issues, as well as a host of general contracting services from foundation to finish work. For a limited time, we are offering exclusive discounts to the listeners of Randy's program. For a no-obligation consultation, please call Doug at 303-517-8742 or drop an email to strategicretreats@gmail.com.
The name is Patriot Trading Group, and the website is allamericangold.com. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President of the Patriot Trading Group, and we handle American gold for the American people because that's who we are and that's who we care about. So if you want your portfolio to help you get the job done, or if you want your IRA to be safe from Wall Street and the paper markets and your kids' future to be protected, then call us, the Patriot Trading Group, at 800-951-0592. You'll be glad you did.
Well, Dr. Stan, this is Dr. Stan. My guest this morning is Mr. William Frigg, and I recently was called as a juror in my community, went down. And, of course, before the case began, why the judge said, now, is there anybody here among the potential jurors who will not be willing to accept my dictates as to what the law is, that will not agree ahead of time before they're on the jury, that they will, of course, come up with a decision based upon what I tell them? Well, of course, my response was, you know, why am I even here if I'm here as an impartial juror and I'm to do exactly what the judge tells me? And yet, this is what is happening across America. As we turn from justice to certainly being told to do just what the judicial system tells us, remember, I opened this program by saying that many scientists prefer using lawyers rather than lab rats in their experiments because there's some things even a rat won't do. We have a caller. Who's calling in?
Colorado.
Go right ahead. Do you have a question for our guest?
This is Dan in Northern Colorado.
Yes, Dan. Do you have a question for our guest?
I do, and I have gotten a lot of information in the last 4 or 5 years, and thank you, Dr. Stan, for helping in that process. But one of the things I read was a book called The Red Amendment, and it explains how the fulcrum of this whole system has changed in Reconstruction. And if you look at the 14th Amendment, it is written so that if you deconstruct the sentence and diagram the wording of the 14th Amendment, you see how it's twisting everything to say that as American citizens, as voters, we have become belligerent, rebellious, and therefore criminal. And so what it has done is twisted in a very seductive way us as United States citizens as all being criminal in the eyes of the law. Not legally, but not lawfully, but legally, we have become criminals so they can do whatever they want to us, where jury nullification is a great premise, but if we're considered criminals, then anything that we try to do as an American citizen can be considered belligerent and criminal, and that's why the police state is you know, do whatever, write your own, do whatever you want to do, because if we're considered criminal, therefore a lot of us end up in jail, but all of us are really considered in that light. So we don't have anything to say, and as a matter of fact...
Thank you so very much. I appreciate your comments. William, do you have any thoughts at all on what our guest was saying, what our caller was saying?
If I understood what he was saying correctly, he's talking about the fact that with the ratification of the 14th Amendment, which is very dubious, I mean, how on earth can he have states ratify a constitutional amendment as a condition of being readmitted into a union they had left that would be defined by the Constitution they're supposed to ratify? There really is sort of a really confused ontology here. How can you arrange for people who are not part of a group to ratify the charter of a group that'd be forced to rejoin? I don't see how that works. But the 14th Amendment, which of course was an artifact of Lincoln's war against the independent South, which was meant to reverse what the federal government calls a rebellion against its supposed authority, The 14th Amendment does begin with the assumption that we're all subjects of a central government rather than citizens that would have the power to define what that agent does on our behalf. I mean, the whole premise of Lincoln's war here was that it is the central government that creates the states, and constructively you'd have to say, therefore, it is the government that creates the rights of the citizens. And so from that perspective, we are all at best rebels and radicals to be reined in by government power, and at worst, we're to be considered presumptive criminals on parole or on probation who can have our temporary freedom revoked at any time that suits the whim of our overseers. And that very much is the perspective that we see today in the so-called justice system.
Once I'm going to have to interrupt you because we're running out of time. First of all, what is the website? Is judicialreform.com or
judicialreformnow.com?
Judicialreformnow.com. And before we go on, I just want you to get out your website so people know how they can get to your website, get your blog, and also find your PayPal button.
I really appreciate that, Dr. Stan. My blog is called Pro Libertate. Proliberate. And my name, of course, is William Grigg. If you Google William Grigg, Pro Libertate should be the first return. If not, just put in Pro Libertate and Grigg, and my blog would be the first return that you get from any search engine. The direct address is freedominourtime.blogspot.com. As you mentioned, Dr. Stan, there is a PayPal button at the bottom of every essay. I try to update this blog between 4 and 6 times a month with essays that are a couple of thousand words in length. Pro Libertate is the blog. The name is William Grigg. The direct address is freedominourtime.blogspot.com.
And incidentally, of course, as I mentioned at the beginning of the program, William Grigg writes the monthly Radio Liberty newsletter. It's just became too difficult for me to do it. William is doing a great job. The November newsletter, which we'll have out before long, is a remarkable newsletter. I think everybody will want to read it, but you'll get that, of course, from me. William, we've only got about a minute for you to wrap up the program. What are the parting thoughts you'd like to leave with our listeners about the judicial system and how it is progressively...
One of the most important things that we can do right now is to try to break the whole system of justice to the saddle of the law. They're considered to be creatures. They consider themselves to be creatures above the law, that they create the law. They're supposed to be subject to it. If they're going to be made subject to the law, that's something the citizenry has to do. And I think that the information which is going to be available through the website, judicialreformnow.com, will be of immense value in educating the interested members of the public as to what we can do in order to re-enthrone justice in our judicial system.
Judicialreformnow.com. Judicialreformnow.com. Go there, understand what we're really dealing with. And once the judicial system has been eroded, then freedom as we know it would no longer exist. Our job is to get people to understand there really are dark and sinister forces working within America who would destroy the foundations of our freedom and institute a dictatorship in America. And whether it be a legislative or executive or judicial dictatorship, it really doesn't matter to the people who lose their freedom because of it. William, thank you so very much for being with us. We'll look forward to having you on our other programs to discuss exactly the same
subject. God bless you, Dr.
God bless.
At RAM, we don't think it's the calendar's job to say when the work is done. We think it's up to the truck. So while the other guys are shutting down for the holidays, RAM trucks are firing up their available 390-horsepower Hemi V8 and Cummins turbo diesel engines and working overtime. This is a great time to get a great deal on a great truck. Right now, at the RAM Big Finish event.
Now get 0% financing for 60 months or $7,200 in total values on the 2012 Ram 1500 Bighorn Crew Cab 4x4. Values include $3,200 Bighorn package discount and $4,000 cash allowance. Package values based on combined value of individual package items. 0% APR financing for 60 months equals $1,667 per month for $1,000. Finance for well-qualified buyers through Ally, regardless of down payment. Residency restrictions apply. Offers end 12-3.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
The people who are controlling the government of America are the same people who are trying to control your family's health care. You can sit quietly by and accept their plan, or you can take responsibility for your health. What would happen if you could no longer obtain the medications you're now taking? Would you be forced to join the ranks of corrupt agents just to purchase the medicine? If you're one of the thousands of concerned citizens who would like to know more about a natural way, God's way to help, drop by the Green Herb for a natural solution and all the information you need to make an intelligent decision. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. And be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Well, Dr. Cass, here. Enjoyed our conversation. But we really need to be concerned about what's happened to our judicial system now that we've taken God and prayer and the Ten Commandments and moral values out of our society, out of our legal system. And a legal system that's based upon law without, of course, justice, without a belief in right and wrong, where we simply have laws that are passed by men, of course, leads us open to the ultimate loss of all freedom. And that's where we stand today, ladies and gentlemen, because when a nation turns against God, God eventually turns against the nation and brings his judgment on us. And I fear that is exactly where we are headed, and very, very soon. Well, this is the time I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, primarily listener-supported. I do not receive a salary. My wife doesn't receive a salary, and she works close to 12 hours a day right along with me. And we're just trying to educate people about what's happening to America and what happens to any nation that turns against God. If you'd like to help us, certainly, as you know, we do 5 hours of talk radio a day, and we have to purchase time, not on this station, but on many stations. If you'd like to help us in our effort to educate people and try to reclaim our freedom and our sense of justice and turn people back to God, why, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you haven't heard my talk on Agenda 21, the covert plan, or on population control, the covert agenda, they are very, very good overviews of what's going on today and who it is who is working behind the scenes to destroy freedom in America and impose a dictatorship, who control both political parties and make mockery out of the system that we once had that provided freedom. Of course, there was a tremendous corruption in the last election in many precincts in Pennsylvania and Ohio. 99% to 100% of the votes went for Barack Obama. And then, of course, immediately after the election, when people should have been talking about the corruption in the voting system and the fact that our voting system has been certainly compromised, why immediately they've released the scandal about General Petraeus and they shift our attention to that issue, and that everybody's talking about that. It's sort of like right after Barack Obama released his phony and fraudulent birth certificate, and people began talking about that, and immediately a SEAL team went in and found some man. They tell us was Osama bin Laden, and he's shot. No pictures are taken. No body is produced. We're told he was dumped in the Indian Ocean because, of course, they wanted to get him buried very, very quickly before the sun went down, according to Muslim rules. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't bury a Muslim at sea. You don't put his body in the ocean. That's against the rules of the Muslim faith, but that didn't matter. The American people believe whatever they're told, because the media is controlled, the judicial system is controlled, both political parties are controlled, the military is controlled, the banks controlled by six major banks, the media is controlled by six major corporations. We live in a controlled nation, ladies and gentlemen. And to understand it, you must understand the Brotherhood of Darkness. You'll need to read my book, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. Radioliberty.com. Go there, pull down the articles, listen to the radio programs. You can listen to them 24 hours a day. Then pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty. And so until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com.
Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. By this you will know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Yeshua, Jesus, has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Yeshua, Jesus, has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have already heard was coming and is now already in the world. 1 John 4:1.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything.